You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
And a pleasant good afternoon, everyone, and welcome into the Gym Class here in KGYM for this sunny Tuesday. Great to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here in 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids. In Iowa City, it's 106.3 FM, as well as the KGYM radio stream, your mobile app, and smart speaker as well. Scott Unash with you, and Mark Dukes joining me coming up from his home on the southwest side in just a moment. Spencer! Hello, Spencer! He is on the other side of the glass today, been a little under the weather. Hope to have him back soon, but we'll bring in Spencer as well on the program here today because he has not had the pleasure of being on the Gym Class during the 3 o'clock hour as of yet. Will on Monday. More on that coming up as we make our way through the week. Great show planned for you. Kevin Lehman, the coach, is going to join us coming up in about 15 minutes. Big news today out of the Missouri Valley Conference. It is now official. Belmont will be the 11th school to be in the MVC. What does that mean for the nation's premier mid-major conference? We will talk about that with the coach. Also, Scott Docterman of The Athletic will join us, and we'll talk about the Kirk Ferentz news conference today. Talk about Colorado State, look ahead to Maryland, and everything Iowa football. We'll do that on the program today as well. 319-366-1600, that is the text line. Always available to you. Again, that is 319-366-1600. Want to pick up the phone and give us a call? You can do so. Say hi to Spencer while you're doing that. 319-366-1600. We are presented once again today by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being. All you need to do is check them out online at dupaco.com. And Mark joining me from the back porch on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon. How you doing today?
It is beautiful, Scott. Good afternoon to Spencer and Ben. Sorry, Ben is under the weather, as it is his birthday. Happy birthday, Ben. Spencer, looking forward to working with you, not only today, but Monday. Can Bears and Packers fans coexist? We'll find out Monday.
Oh, well, I'm sure Packer fans can coexist with Bear fans if the Bears pick up 43 total yards again. I think that is not going to be much of a problem.
Hey,
my team stinks. We can't stop, we can't stop a JUCO team right now. So what do I have to, I'm just hanging on right now. Don't panic, Patrick Mahomes said. He didn't say R-E-L-A-X. That is, of course, Aaron Rodgers. That's his line right there. But Patrick Mahomes said, do not panic. And the Chiefs have Josh Gordon now, so all is well with the world. As I mentioned, Kevin Lehman's going to join us, and we'll talk about the news today with Belmont leaving the Ohio Valley Conference and moving on to the Missouri Valley Conference and what that means. It's very interesting because I read on a couple of different accounts from very reputable sources that folks that cover college basketball. All of a sudden, oh my gosh, the Missouri Valley is a two-bid league. It may even be a three-bid league in some years. What have we been saying the last couple of years when the Missouri Valley has been playing very good basketball, Mark? This league should have been a two-bid league and has been at times. It's been a three-bid league before. It's good to read that, but I think you're coming to the party a little bit late. Where has this talk been over the last handful of years?
You have sung its praises many times, and I know Kevin Lehman feels generally the same way. But Belmont coming in, this is a program that has won 20 or more games every year since 2011. That's pretty good pedigree, and probably stepping up in class from the Ohio Valley Conference. It also has a pretty good women's program, a women's basketball team that reached the NCAA tournament last year and knocked off Gonzaga. So anxious to hear what Kevin has to say about it.
Yeah, and is this going to be the end of the expansion in the Missouri Valley? Probably not, because As you know as well as anyone, Mark, 11 teams in a league is just not a very good number. You want to have an even number, and I would imagine that the Missouri Valley is going to go shopping, and it may even be another team from the Ohio Valley. So we'll figure that out coming up in just a little bit. 319-366-1600, text line available to you here today as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour on the Gym Class on KGYM. Kirk Ferentz and Hawkeye players meeting the media today down in Iowa City. Not a whole lot of earth-shattering news coming out today as far as the coach and what he had to say. Congratulations to Jack Campbell, named the Bronco Nagurski Player of the Week, and add that to his growing list of accolades from the Colorado State game last Saturday. 18 tackles, a recovered fumble down the line, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Jack Campbell, by the way, is going to be one of the captains this week. What Kirk had to say basically was good news as far as medical situations are concerned with our friend Kyler Schott.
Yeah, and I expected to be pretty quiet today in Iowa City, and preparations are short for the Maryland game. I didn't glean a whole lot of new information out of reporters or Kirk, but for him, it's on to Maryland, right?
Yeah, I think Kirk is in a situation where he knows he is being pushed as far as the timetable is concerned. And as we talked about yesterday, and as most people know now that follow Iowa football, Kirk Ferentz does not like to deviate from the routine. And this is a week where Iowa has to differentiate itself from a regular week. And that's not probably sitting well with Kirk. He's not going to let on that. I don't think it's necessarily bothering him or anything like that, but it's just, it's different. It's different. And Kirk does not like different, as we know, Mark.
No, he doesn't. And clearly, in Kirk's words, Iowa needs to fix some things, particularly the offensive line. If those things don't get fixed, it could be a long night Friday night in Maryland. But, you know, this is a young group. Should it come together? Maryland is not a great defensive football team, particularly in the passing game. So we'll see what the game plan has for us and get Scott Docterman's views on the Terrapins. By the way, the Terrapins is a really good nickname, Scott, don't you think?
I like it.
Terrapins are turtles, kind of indigenous to the East Coast, and I think it's very appropriate. Good nickname.
Yeah. By the way, the Hawkeyes did pick up a commitment last night. Cale Vanderbush, a tight end, wide receiver tight end. I think he's going to be a tight end as far as the Hawkeyes are concerned. 6'6". He's skinny right now. He's 205 out of Plainfield, Indiana. But you can pretty much imagine what a couple years in the Iowa weight room is going to do to this young man. And you can't teach 6'6" at the tight end spot, as we know, Mark. And a good get. Also, a decommitment today by a high schooler that was going to go to Pitt and now has reopened his recruitment. And Iowa, one of his choices now as far as his future. And also, the big one that was announced, I think, over the weekend, that coming up this weekend, the 5-star defensive back out of Southeast Polk is going to take and narrow his list to 3, his final 3, as far as his choices are concerned. So I think a lot of people are going to have both eyeballs on that coming up this weekend.
No doubt. And it was a big recruiting weekend for Iowa. I had a lot of guys on campus for the Colorado State game. Sifted through many pictures of the various prospects. And that's what partly what fall is about as well. So, yeah, we'll take a look at what the Southeast Polk Star will do coming up here.
Yeah, we're going to see him a week from Friday once again. I am looking forward to that when they come to town to take on the Prairie Hawks. 86-99, do the schools in the Big Ten have a say in their conference game schedule? Can they refuse a Friday night game? I was saying they don't have a choice, but not sure. I am not 100% on this, Mark, but from what I understand, that no, that is not the case. You are told by the Big Ten Conference you are going to play on a Friday night. You are going to play on a Friday night. Now, Iowa, with the situation with university hospitals right next door, it is virtually impossible for Iowa to host a Friday night game in Iowa City. I do not know how in the world the university, Gary Barta, and everyone associated with Hawkeye Athletics would ever pull off a Friday night game. So I think Iowa has that card they're playing in their back pocket, but it does not stop Iowa from being the visiting team on a Friday night.
Right, as I believe it works, if memory serves, each team will play a Friday night game in a certain time frame, a certain number of years, and one program will not get overloaded with Friday night games, but I'm not sure that Iowa or anybody else has a choice in the matter.
No, I don't think they do. And Kirk has gone on record, as others, saying, but I think Kirk has been a little bit more boisterous about it, that he does not like Friday night games. Friday nights are for high schools, and he has made his intentions known, but that is not going to stop the behemoth known as television from putting games on Friday evenings. We all know that. We're not stupid, Mark.
No, not at all. And I mean, Kirk Ferentz has had, and his staff, his players have known about this for some time, since the schedules came out, the TV schedules came out. While it might be uncomfortable for Kirk and others, they've had time to plan for this. They know what's going to happen. So maybe we're reading a lot more into it than what we should.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Speaking of Kirk Ferentz and what he had to say, you can hear from the head coach coming up between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. They will check in during Kirk Ferentz's news conference. It is presented, Coach's Cuts, by Network Computer Solutions, online at ncsei.com. Network Computer Solutions, they're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. 319-366-1600. Kevin Lehman, the coach, is going to join us coming up here in just a couple of moments. Not much to say about Monday Night Football last night. The Cowboys, again, looked very impressive, and I don't think there's any doubt in the world. Cowboys may be the most overwhelming divisional choice right now in the National Football League to win a division crown. And as you know, that pains me to say that.
Well, it pleases our former producer, Buttons, that's for sure. Big Cowboy fan. And the Cowboys did look very good last night. Jalen Hurts for Philadelphia was not good at the quarterback position by and large. And he said what Bears fans all are saying this week: we're going to flush it. And Philadelphia needs to do that. I still think Philadelphia is a decent team, but I think Dallas has taken a step forward and taken command of that division, at least at this early juncture.
Well, yeah, Philadelphia will play a great game coming up this Sunday. I can guarantee you that when the Kansas City Chiefs come to the link and get ready to take on the Eagles. I can guarantee you that is going to happen. 8186 agreeing with us wholeheartedly. Wife works at Stead Family Children's Hospital, and she says Saturdays are enough of a struggle, let alone a Friday night game.
Yeah.
I would wholeheartedly agree. And another text coming in agreeing with Kirk: Friday is for high schools. But sorry, we've been down that road. That is not going to change. We know that. Mark knows that. Spencer knows that. Everybody knows that. Big Ten Network is going to have a Friday night football game. And that is pretty much the way it is going to be. All right, we are coming up on 3:19. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Kevin Lehman, the coach, is going to join us. Yeah, a little basketball talk in the latter portion of the month of September. We're not far away from basketball media days. And, in fact, practice, I think, is getting underway this week for college basketball. So we'll talk about that. But the main topic du jour is the Missouri Valley is getting a very, very good team coming in a couple of years. We'll talk with Kevin when we return after this on KGYM.
It's almost weird how much you have in common and how hard you make each other laugh. After a lifetime of peopling, this one came along, and that's it. Game over. Now you just have to find the ring and figure out how to ask. The Dickens family can help. Hertine and Stocker Jewelers has been helping proposers choose engagement rings for 70 years. There isn't a thing about diamonds, settings, styles, or metals they can't tell you. And if you think after thousands of happy couples they're so over it, you would be so wrong. At Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, your engagement is as exciting to them as it is to you. Well, okay, almost. It's a great day at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers when they know they've helped someone find the perfect sparkler. And with 7 decades of experience, they've got a heck of a track record with getting a yes. So, if proposing is on your mind, see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then, step inside and talk to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Bet on more than the final score during pro football season with One Game Parlay at BetMGM. One Game Parlay is an exciting feature designed to help you make selections within a single game from over 400 bet types, including team and player props. Log into your BetMGM account and create your best parlay before the game starts. One Game Parlay is the fast and easy way to combine your same game win, total, and prop picks. New to BetMGM? Sign up today and make your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 with bonus code HANSON, H-A-N-S-O-N. You can place One Game Parlay bets on football, baseball, soccer, and more. Go ahead and take your favorite player to score, the home team to cover, and the over in touchdowns. Log in today or download the BetMGM app to try One Game Parlay with the King of Sportsbooks. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older, Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
321 back with you on the Gym Class presented by DePaco Community Credit Union here on this Tuesday on KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you. Spencer on the other side of the glass here today. Great to have you aboard. Coming up tonight, Twins baseball at 6 o'clock as the Twins are in action on 107.5 FM. And we also have an ESPN game coming your way tonight at 6 o'clock. That will be on 1600 AM as well as 102.3 FM and 106.3 FM. That'll be Philadelphia at Atlanta. The Twins, by the way, are hosting the Detroit Tigers from Target Field coming up tonight. But we're going to talk basketball in the latter portion of the month of September. Nothing better than talking some basketball with you. And we are pleased to bring in the coach, Kevin Lehman, who joins us here on the program. And not only, it is time to talk basketball, Kevin, because I believe I read that the colleges are opening up this week with practice. Is that correct?
Yeah, Scott, Mark, that's right. Most teams are going to start the full-fledged practice this week. You know, they were limited to, I think, 8 hours prior to this, but they can go full bore here. So the Panthers, I'm going to stop down Thursday and watch Drake. They're going to actually have a practice on Court Avenue in downtown Des Moines. They're going to set a court up down there. That's going to be kind of fun to see.
Nice, nice. Yeah, the big news today, though, and it was kind of released last week, but it is now official. A big day for the Missouri Valley Conference, I think, in the eyes of a lot of national people, as the 11th school has been added, and it is a good one with a very good pedigree in mid-major basketball.
Scott, they couldn't have got a better team, a better fit for the Valley in Belmont. This is a school that's they dominated the Ohio Valley Conference. It's the school that they wanted when Creighton left for the Big East in 2012, but at that time, Belmont had just gone to Ohio Valley and didn't want to be in three leagues in 3 years. They left the Atlantic Sun. They've dominated that league. This is a great fit. The Valley is better today by adding this team.
Kevin, in your opinion, how much does it change the national view of the Missouri Valley Conference?
I think one of the battles you've ever had since Wichita State has left, Mark, and Creighton left, is it became traditionally a one-bid league. You know, last year Drake got in along with Loyola. I think it puts us back now, the Valley, where you know, you've got the what they call the major conferences, which your Power Five plus the Big East is six. The American usually comes in with number seven, you know, Houston making a Final Four run. The 8-10 is kind of catapulted to that eight spot. I think Sally makes the Valley your ninth best league in the country. And more importantly, I think it puts it back as a multiple bid league. And a side note to this, guys, is now you can go with a 20-game schedule. The biggest challenge Valley schools have had recently is putting together a schedule because of the Big Ten going to 20 games, these other power leagues going to 20 games. And it gives them now you know, a 20-game schedule, so you got 10 home games in league play alone.
Does this help non-conference scheduling as well? We know what you and I has done with Ben Jacobson over the last handful of years, and they have just loaded up because they know that in order to make the tournament, if you don't win the Mo Valley tournament in Arch Madness, you have to play a lot of people on your resume. I got to think this is going to help a little bit to alleviate that.
Well, it helps in what I just said, Scott, is you've got now a quality opponent in Belmont on your league schedule. But I still think the biggest battle the mid-majors are facing now is putting together their non-conference schedule. As you mentioned, Northern Iowa's always been aggressive. They played in some really good MTEs where they're playing major conference teams. And now we've seen Drake step up a little bit. They're in actually the same MTE event, which stands for multiple team event, with Belmont. And also, I was just looking at the schedule. I think Iona's in that. LSU may be in it. It's a pretty strong field. And we've seen a couple other teams do that. You know, Loyola usually schedules very well. I think they're in the battle for Atlantis this year. But some of the other teams at the bottom of the Valley have not done that. But here's one of the things. Ben Jackson has a contract through like 2028. He has no fear of scheduling up because he's not coaching for his job every year. That's one of the great luxuries Northern Iowa has. They're willing to spend the money and take their team to those island destinations to play their major teams. And we got to get more Valley schools doing that because, as we know, you can't get Iowa State to come to Northern Iowa anymore and play the McLeod Center. North Carolina did years ago, got beat. That's just a tough thing for mid-major schools.
When Belmont joins next season, Kevin, that will bring to 11 the number of teams in the Missouri Valley Conference. There are others that have 11 teams and make it work. Do you think the Missouri Valley will expand even more? And if so, where does it look?
I think the name you're going to hear a lot of, Mark, is Murray State, Steve Prohm's old school. Their rival with Belmont has become a great one throughout the years. And Murray State's a team that probably finished second place to Valpo when Valpo was added in, when Wichita State left. So you're going to hear a lot of that talk. When we had the conference call today with Jeff Jackson, the new commissioner of the Valley, that question was brought up. He said right now we're happy with 11. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Murray State, who put out a press release last week, that they're kind of looking. The Ohio Valley's got some problems right now, guys. They've had some teams leave. Jacksonville State left. Eastern Kentucky left. I think that may be more for football reasons. Austin Peay is leaving also. So this will be four schools exiting the Ohio Valley here in just the next couple of years.
But this is kind of refreshing. This has nothing to do with football. I mean, this is a pure basketball decision. And I know people are kind of applauding that. The basketball writers around the country are kind of applauding that.
Well, you're exactly right. That's what the AD says. They don't have football at Belmont. It's a high academic institution. And Casey Alexander, his second year there as coach, he played there. Rick Byrd coached, took it from an NAIA school 25 years ago to a mid-major power. And Casey Alexander played for him. He's taken over. He said the team we run into with the most in recruiting is Loyola. They're both recruiting high academic type personnel. And you know, we've got a local guy in Evan Braun out of Iowa City West is a freshman on that team, going to be a sophomore this year. So that's what he mentioned recruiting-wise. And I've done games there in the Ohio Valley package. Their facilities are outstanding. It's a gorgeous campus. It's 2 miles from downtown Nashville. And we know Nashville is one of the hottest towns, hottest cities in the country right now. This is a great addition in a lot of ways. But if you look at the map, there's a little gap there, Kentucky, to get down to Tennessee and Belmont. And right in the middle of that is Murray State. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that team added sometime in the future.
Yeah. Well, maybe the racers will be racing in to the Mo Valley. And like I said before you came on, I think it's very interesting how suddenly in 2 hours the Mo Valley became not only a two, but some people are saying even in some years could be a three-bid league. Where have you been, folks? There's been good basketball in this league.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, this year, I just did a write-up for ESPN. Those top four teams, Loyola, Drake, Northern Iowa, Missouri State, the only guys they lost was Yesufu, who left Drake to go to Kansas, Krutwig left to go to play in Europe, and Missouri State lost their shooter, Ritter. They got everybody else back. These are teams that are going to be aged. The average age is going to be 23, 24 years old, along with the Northern Iowa Panthers. So it's one of those years we're seeing, I think, in football, guys, those fifth-year guys are making a huge difference. It's kind of shaking up the top 20 football world. I think you're going to see the same thing when college basketball starts. The Valley has to get some wins in November and December to get that net up. Therefore, they can be a multiple bid league once they get back in March in the Arch Madness.
Kevin, what kind of movements across the nation in terms of expansion, conference expansion, have caught your eye from a basketball standpoint?
Well, obviously, it was football originated, but what the Big 12 did in picking up an excellent basketball school in Cincinnati and Houston, I think Central Florida has huge potential. And, of course, BYU. So I think what we talk about as what's doing for football, but I think that's really going to be interesting to see how the Big 12 rebrands itself after losing Oklahoma and Texas. You know, Cincinnati is a pretty good program. It doesn't carry the weight that Texas does and Oklahoma does, but they've had some pretty good teams in the Big 12. And for a while, we weren't so sure the Big 12 as a league was going to survive.
Yeah, BYU is going to be underrated, man. Going to the Marriott Center to play basketball is not going to be you. Hey, ask Gonzaga, ask Mark Few how tough it is to go in there and win.
Well, and I've done games in Houston. That place is unbelievable too. I was sitting next to the Big E, Elgin Hayes, calling a game down there. There's some tradition with Five Slamma Jamma, and also how about Cincinnati? That is a basketball crazy town. So I'm looking forward to see what the Big 12 becomes here in a couple of years.
Awesome. Good stuff. Well, basketball's around the corner, and we can't wait. Kevin, we'll talk soon when media days come around, and we'll see what happens in 2021, 2022. But I think it's going to be a great year. And thanks for joining us. Always appreciate it.
Okay, it's a pleasure, guys. You have a great day.
We will. Thanks, Kevin. Kevin Lehman, the coach. He'll be with us throughout the college basketball season again this year. And, of course, Belmont moving to the Missouri Valley Conference. We will take a break. Come back. Scott Dochterman of The Athletic joins us when we return after this on KGYM.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why WeatherShield windows are only sold at local trusted independent dealers, not at big box stores. WeatherShield never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship. Alexander Lumber is proud to be a WeatherShield dealer. Visit them at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
How real do I keep it?
So real.
How real do I keep it?
So real.
So real that Caesars will give you some authentic NFL gear when you bet $100 in September. So download the app and get live in-game betting, parlays, Caesars rewards, and some authentic NFL gear. I'm an official sponsor of the NFL, people!
Must be 21. Offer valid in Iowa only and for new and existing users who opt into this offer. Jersey awarded as a gift card. Options may vary. Terms and conditions apply. See Caesars.com/promos. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Save big money with 11% off everything now at Menards. Keep your home's temperature comfortable year-round while saving energy with a new Honeywell Home Thermostat. The Honeywell Home Wi-Fi 7-day programmable thermostat lets you sync your comfort to your schedule with its 7-day, 4 periods per day flexible programming. On sale, just $69 now at Menards. Good through October 2nd. Savings are mail-in rebates. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
We are back with you on the Gym Class for a Tuesday here on KGYM. We're presented by Tupaco Community Credit Union. And baseball coming up tonight. Twins hosting the Detroit Tigers at 6 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the Gym OT. And also at 6 o'clock, 1600 AM, 102.3 and 106.3 FM, Philadelphia and Atlanta tonight. Big one as far as the National League is concerned. And coming up on Friday night, still sounds a little bit unusual, but that is the case for this week. Iowa and Maryland from College Park. And I know they used to call it Bird Stadium. It's probably had the naming rights sold by now. But at any rate, going old school, it's Bird Stadium out in College Park where Iowa and Maryland will go at it. Talk about that and other things. Hawkeyes, Scott Dochterman of The Athletic joining us. You can give him a follow on Twitter, at Scott Dochterman. Encourage you to read his terrific stuff at The Athletic as well. Are you a Friday night game devotee, or would you rather have Saturdays?
It doesn't really bother me, frankly. I mean, I could do one per year, to me, isn't a big deal. I know when a lot of times when I travel and go to a road venue for a Saturday game, a lot of times the first thing I want to do on a Friday night is, okay, who's playing? And usually it's a BYU or Cincinnati game or something like that. But so to get a Big Ten game would be fun if I was not the one covering it. But but I know how it impacts high schools. And that's not a good thing. And I kind of hope, I know in the future, there's just, their plans are to release it the next year, about every October, so they can allow people to kind of plan around it. You know, high schools may want to go up a day or two, but I'm not a big fan, but I don't mind seeing it once in a while.
Scott, in my view, this Iowa Hawkeye team, 4-0, number 5 in the country, very lofty, but I think the biggest unit in need of repair is the offensive line. It's got experience in Linderbaum and the only senior in the two deep, Kyler Schott, but it also has a couple freshmen in Richmond and Colby last week. There's been a lot of switching and maneuvering in that offensive line. What's your view of their play right now?
It's pretty inconsistent, and that's part of the problem. I mean, I've tried to go under the hood like anybody else to try to figure out what's the issue with the offense now that it's week 4, and you're kind of measuring it up against a different standard than you might have before. And really, to me, it's about really execution. And on the offensive line, in a lot of cases, especially in the running game, it seems to be more of an issue of one guy missing a block. And the problem is when that happens on almost every down, you're not going to go anywhere. Because if you don't get, you know, you have a combo block on the nose tackle and you can't get to the second level, then the linebacker will stop your running back for a 1 or 2 yard gain. And the more that happens, the more you get games like you did the other day. And I think that's part of the problem. I do think they're going to get an opportunity to get a little more settled. I don't know about how good they'll be. Last year they were very good. This year I think they can be somewhat good. And if they can at least control the line of scrimmage, then I think that they're capable of winning most of their games. The problem is we've kind of reached the point in the season where you've got to start moving, and you know, the excuses or the youth factor kind of dry up pretty quickly.
Well, and we've seen Kirk Ferentz kind of rotate guys through the non-conference portion of the schedule in the past, and he has made the comments and has again this year that you got to settle on some guys, and I think we're going to start to see the settling process coming up on Friday night.
I think there's going to be some more settling, but I do think that there's also an opportunity here for, they do want to rotate guys. You know, let's take Connor Colby, for instance. And, yeah, we talked to him today. He's a little bit hard on himself grade-wise. And, yeah, he probably didn't grade out as well as he'd like, for sure. But he's got a huge future. He's going to be an elite-level offensive lineman in the Big Ten and for Iowa in the future. So he's going to get him some snaps. But how many and at what time? And some, And Iowa's done that in the past where they've taken that freshman who you can, you know, like an Austin Blythe or a Brandon Sheriff and rotated him at guard. And I think that's the way you want to do it. The one question I have is, at some point, you know, whether it's Justin Brent being hurt or Kyler Schott coming back from his broken foot, I mean, those are two really important guys. And how are you going to fit them in along with Cody Entz, who I think is pretty decent, and then also Linderbaum, who's as good as there is in college football. So I think they've got the starter kit of a good unit. They're probably going to have to cut that down a little bit. And then you're just going to have to see more improvement on the edges, because I think that's probably the area. I mean, Mason Richmond's played pretty well for being a redshirt freshman, but there's a lot of growth there, both on him and for Nick DeYoung, that for this unit to take the next step.
Scott, the lightning rod always seems to be the quarterback position, and that's been true of Spencer Petras, in my view, unfairly. I outlined on yesterday's show 4, 5, 6 things that can go wrong on any given play or during the course of any given game that is going to reflect on the quarterback, and those things are not his fault. Your view of Petras' play?
I think he's an ascending player, and I think he played his best game the other day, and he made one mistake, but who hasn't in that sport and that area? And I think a lot of times fans conveniently forget how certain quarterbacks struggled in the past when comparing to the future and the present. And in Spencer Petras' case, that was his first interception in 167 attempts. Iowa in the first couple of games played more of a risk-averse strategy because, hey, you got a big lead, don't let the other team back into it and play keep away, and that worked. Don't let them get the ball, you know, because of your mistakes. Last week he had to go big, and he did. He hit some nice passes. He had 5 big plays through the passing game. I think it was his most impressive game. He was able to complete passes at a 65% clip. That's exactly what you want from that quarterback, especially the way he plays. So I like what he's done the last couple of weeks. And if he can continue to make those plays happen, then he's got a chance to make the plays to win games, because that's going to have to happen at some point this year, probably a couple of games. So, yeah, he's been unfairly criticized, but at times, you know, he's been fairly criticized too. But I do think he's become more consistent. His fundamentals are better. He's been able to lead receivers a little bit more. And it's just, again, I think it all comes down to this offense is a play here, a play there, a lack of execution. Look at last week with Charlie Jones dropping he had some tremendous punt returns, but then he drops a jet sweep that costs him 15 yards. And they're rolling at that point. Or the week before when you have Tyrone Tracy slipping and falling on a tunnel screen where he had a chance to, you know, at least pick up a first down in the Kent State territory. So I think they're just a little plays here and there, those small details, away from putting together some really good drives on a consistent basis.
Scott Docterman joining us from The Athletic here on the Gym Class for this Tuesday on KGYM. Going hand in hand with that, Scott, is the emergence. And I personally, I think the timing is right. I like to see them out there because it makes the field, it opens it up vertically. Keegan Johnson, who is terrific, and then Arlen Bruce IV. We know what he can do. Those two guys, and I think you're going to what they can do is just scratching the surface right now, and I think you're going to see more and more of them. And that's nothing against Jones or Reganey or anybody like that. It's just I think they're just too good, and they can stretch the field against some quality opponents.
For sure, that's the case in Keegan Johnson. He's definitely a field stretcher. He proved it the other day. And the more teams they face, like what we saw against Colorado State, where they're running a lot of single coverage, you've got to be able to test them deep. And it worked. It worked well. And I think those are plays that you've got to, if nothing else, just stand back there and throw it as far as you can to make sure that they understand that you're capable of doing that. And that's what took place with Keegan. And I think Arlen Bruce also has a lot of positive qualities. He's a very quick player. He's getting space. He can do a lot of things. And, you know, now Nico Reganey showed he's got great concentration on the football. Charlie Jones is capable of making plays as he did against Iowa State. And I'd like to see more out of Tyrone Tracy. I think he's capable of more. So I really like those 5 players that they've kind of thrown out there in different ways. I think the best thing, and this is you know, maybe just my opinion, is if they maybe install Keegan Johnson more as the true X split in type, and then allowed Tyrone Tracy to kind of move around as the flanker type, I think that they could get some better matchups for both players going forward.
What do you make of this Maryland team, Scott?
I like them. I think they're a lot like what we saw in week one against Indiana. This passing attack is probably what everybody expected to see from Indiana. Except they've actually proven it this year. And that's, you know, Tyrua Tagovailoa, his brother Tua, of course, we know is with the Dolphins. A very efficient passer. He completes 75%. He's got 10 touchdowns, only one pick, and that came off his receiver's hands. So he's been able to do a lot of good things there. They've got two elite-level NFL-caliber wide receivers in Demas and Jarrett. So they pose some difficulties for this defense, and they got a good running back too. I'm not sure, though, that offensive line has faced anything like what Iowa presents on the defensive side of the ball. So they're going to learn pretty quickly that this isn't going to be a defense you can just light up like they have for the first couple of games. So you like Iowa's chances just with its secondary of containing those players for the majority of those plays, but they're going to break through. They're going to have a couple of big ones. It's just, can Iowa combat that? And then on the other side of the ball, they've got some injuries at linebacker, some pretty talented guys, but they run single high safety. So that means Iowa's going to have to take some shots down the field and make sure that their receivers are either in the right spot or they can beat their guys to the spot. And so I think this game is there for the taking, but I also think it's the type of game that if you play poorly, you're going to lose.
Well, I think what scares me and Iowa fans in general, I think, is the fact that this is arguably Mike Locksley's most important game at Maryland so far. Maryland wins, they're going to be in the top 25, and they're going to be on the national radar. I mean, this is a Friday night game. All eyes are going to be on it, et cetera, et cetera. And Kirk does not like to deviate from what he has done over the years, and that's a Friday night game. But there's this is a big one for Maryland coming up.
Yeah, I think it works in both ways, too. But you're right. I mean, Maryland's 4-0. They haven't been ranked. He wants to show that he's made this kind of progress at Maryland, and what a perfect opportunity. They've got a blackout schedule. That's a national televised game. It works both ways. Iowa has a chance to kind of cement its status as a potential playoff team and in front of the world. And so there's a lot of opportunity here for both programs. And in Maryland's case, it needs to show that it can hang with a good team on a national stage. And they certainly want to, and they've, you know, had some wins. You know, they beat Illinois in very close fashion, and same thing with West Virginia. So they should have some confidence if it's a close game. But, you know, Iowa's a difficult opponent. So if he can pull off the upset, go 5-0, there's going to be a lot of momentum there for the Terps. And if he plays poorly Maryland plays poorly and Iowa wins decisively, then I don't think anybody knows the difference, because that's pretty much what's happened in the past for Maryland.
Scott, I wanted to ask you about Terry Roberts. Special teams have been such a big part of this Iowa team with Torrey Taylor and Caleb Shudak. But I'm telling you what, this Roberts kid is in on every tackle, on a punt, downing the ball inside the five. He's just Johnny on the spot. What's his background?
What a terrific story and player he is. He's from Erie, Pennsylvania, and was kind of a do-it-all, both sides of the ball guy in high school at Erie Cathedral, and had kind of a similar background to some other players. Knew Javon Johnson. That's what kind of plugged him into Iowa and decided to have him as a cornerback. But as a special teams player, we've seen a lot of really good ones over the years, and some are better at different areas. You know, like Bob Sanders was a big hit guy, and you had other players who blocked punts. But as a pure special teams gunner and kick coverer and everything, I mean, Terry Roberts is as good as it's ever been. I mean, he's just down there all the time. Or he makes solo tackles, which is very difficult to do in space like that. And I think eventually, maybe it's next year, you're probably going to see him starting at corner. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if he ends up being an NFL draft pick, because he's always around the ball. He's always making plays. He's well liked and well regarded, but you know, his background in Erie, Pennsylvania just kind of shows he's and for some of the people he knows from there, Bob Sanders being among them, that you know, he's got a background everybody likes and appreciates, and certainly he's been able to prove that down in and down out when he's on the field.
Scott, the Big Ten West, save for Iowa, has been an absolute mess so far. Am I correct on that?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, who outside of Iowa, is there anybody you can pinpoint and say, yeah, I think they're the number two team? I mean, I think Wisconsin probably is, but, you know, they had such a horrific fourth quarter, and they've made a ton of mistakes, you know, Penn State, and a ton of mistakes against Notre Dame, that I don't know that anybody has faith that they're going to end up in Indianapolis and win out. You know, Minnesota, you know, they just after a week of everybody praising them for beating Colorado 30-0, they go and lose to one of the worst MAC teams out there in Bowling Green. And, you know, Nebraska, flip a coin. I don't know what Nebraska team you're ever going to get. Illinois looked good in the opener against Nebraska and then has not since then. Purdue is, what, 3-1? So I guess they've got some potential there, but I don't really have a lot of faith that they can run the race. And Northwestern, you've got to be cognizant of them. You know, Pat Fitzgerald's a heck of a coach, but you expect him to get better as the season goes on. I don't know that they have the players to you know, win, you know, more than, you know, to get in that 9-10 win range. I just don't see that. So it's really Iowa's division, and if Iowa stumbles and can't get there, this is a major issue for the Hawkeyes.
I would agree. And basketball starts this week. How about that? We got to concentrate on that now too.
Yeah, you can go ahead and concentrate on basketball in September. I'm waiting for a while. I don't want to wish my football season away and
start thinking
of getting into the next 6+ months. So no, yeah, it does start tomorrow with practice and media day coming up, and it all goes so fast. And it should be interesting. I just did write our state of the program story on Iowa basketball. Finished it a few hours ago, and they've got some depth. Fran likes his depth. I don't know. You know, we're kind of going to wait till Keegan Murray can, you know, see if he can be the next great one in line, or is he going to be, or are they just going to be kind of a holistic offense? It'll be interesting to see how that materializes.
I agree. I'm going to say this though before we let you go, and that is, I hope Hawkeye fans do not put too much pressure on Keegan Murray. I think the worst thing that happened to him was that the experts on the draft came out and had him in the top 15. And it's a compliment, yes, but boy, that's also, that could be a bad situation too.
Yeah, I don't like that, but I also think, you know, it's quite a feather in his cap to have that kind of notoriety, but can he live up to that? I don't know. But he's got such a mature attitude. I mean, he follows his father in that way, where you just talk to him and you don't see him as someone who's going to get, you know, feel the pressure and have it displayed that way. I think he's going to have a great career and probably a very good season. And I'm excited to see what kind of strides he's made. He looks a lot bigger the last time I saw him. He looked, you know, about 20 pounds heavier than last year. I hope that works for him. It's worked both ways for certain players in the past. And I hope in his case that it turns him into a stronger version of himself, you know, especially around the boards.
Yeah. Hey, Scott, appreciate it as always. Keep up the great work with The Athletic, and thanks for taking time to join us today.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
You bet. Scott Dochterman. Read his stuff at The Athletic. Give him a follow at Scott Dochterman on Twitter. We'll take a break, come back, wrap things up, and have more for you on The Gym Class right after this on KGYM.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. I'm a speed bump. Did you hear what I said? I'm a speed bump. And if you have cut-rate car insurance, the cost to reattach your muffler could really be a bump in the road. So switch to Allstate, save money, and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Based on coverage and limits selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
At Shell, we know from the time you get up to the time you wrap up,
good night,
there's a lot of meetups, eat-ups, and hurry-ups. So come to Shell and get 3 things done at once. Fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. And engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. See full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
Back with you on the Gym Class at 3:54 here on KGYM. All right, thanks to Kevin Lehman and Scott Docterman for joining us here today. And coming up tomorrow, Chris Liss of rotowire.com to answer your fantasy football questions. That is presented by Imon Communications. We will have that for you coming up tomorrow on the program. And as soon as he makes it back, which he has done now, Mark, we will bring in Spencer here to talk with us a little bit for the last few moments of the broadcast here today. As, of course, Spencer has joined the team here at KGYM. Actually, the entire team. Z team, smart team, R team. You're the Swiss Army knife of the building, correct?
Yeah, people ask me what I do, and I say jack of all trades, and I really mean that this time. It's not just me kind of joking about what I do around the building. So, I made a rookie mistake, though. I like left my headphones in my office, so I'm like a little out of breath, having to run down the hall and get them. But
that's fine. Mark, say hi.
Hello, Spencer. Welcome, and looking forward to working with you in the future. And I don't think I've ever done a show with a guy I haven't met. That'll come up Monday.
Yeah, that's true. I heard your comment earlier. I've worked with plenty of Bear fans in my time, so I think we'll get along fine.
Oh, yeah.
I'll keep the joke.
You and Brommel camp, I can tell you that.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit different, I think. At least the Bears and the Packers, they aren't playing this week, right?
Yeah, it's Packers-Steelers this week.
Packers-Steelers, so, yeah. Okay, in Green Bay. I do yes. remember that now. Yes. And the Bears, it is game number two of the Justin Fields era, so yes. We'll see how it plays out.
Maybe you'll be 50 passing yards this week.
Oh,
maybe.
Ooh.
There you go.
Oh, well, maybe the Chiefs will hold somebody to a play underneath 50 yards this week.
Maybe.
So we all have our little burdens to cross
That's true.
Anyway, Iowa, Maryland coming up, and I know you guys will talk about the recap on Monday, but it's unusual. It's a Friday night game. We've been over that. I'm going to be obviously at a high school game. I'll have to keep an eye on it, and then I'll probably watch it when I get home because I can never go to sleep after those games. But it's going to be a fun game, I think. And do not underestimate the Maryland Terrapins.
No, Tagovailoa, the brother of Tua. I heard you talking to Scott about that. He's a really good quarterback, and I was looking at some of the stats and just how, in like less than a year and a half of being their starting quarterback, he's been basically the best quarterback they've had since like the mid-90s or something in their game notes along those lines, and just kind of shows you how much of a talented individual he is. So, both teams kind of in an interesting spot, both 4-0. Both have some big games on the horizon. Iowa has Penn State. Maryland has Ohio State next week. And then I think Penn State in a couple weeks after that. So, they've got some games circled on the calendar just like Iowa does, so both teams kind of in a similar spot, although Iowa is in the top 10, Maryland is not in the top 25, period. So, be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I think it's going
to be. You're a Cub fan, too, are you, Spencer?
No, Brewers, actually. Division champion Milwaukee Brewers.
So
yeah, and the Brewers are at St. Louis tonight. The Cardinals trying to win their 17th franchise record, tying 16th right now, and longest since 2017 when Cleveland won 22 in a row, and the longest in the National League in 60 years. So we'll see if the Brewers can do it tonight, Spencer.
I hope they can. I think Woodruff's on the mound, so hopefully he can get it done.
How about a Brewer-White Sox World Series? Can we live with that? Can the rest of this building live with that?
Probably not. I don't know.
I'm taking one step at a time.
Yes.
And, we'll see. Hey, I think Detroit did the White Sox a favor yesterday by getting them all rattled up with the little bench clearing thing. So,
I didn't see that.
It wasn't much, but it was just it was a brush up. But they play three times to end the year, which ought to be very interesting. But,
All right,
Spencer, hey, welcome aboard.
Thanks.
Great to have you here. And look forward to working with you for many, many years to come.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Spencer, joining us here today. We need to make room for Todd and Alex. They're coming your way next. Mark, talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Sounds good. Talk then.
Stay tuned. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next.
Buying a car can be a bumpy ride. You need to get financing from a lender, insurance from an agency, and complete the purchase at a dealership. But Navy Federal Credit Union's fully loaded car buying experience makes car buying